Members of the portfolio committee, those who are members of the board, members of the media. I do believe that this is a very technical process. I am skilled and it allows presentation. Thank you very much.
Chaplain, I'm in Haitians. We're going to take you through was also recorded that in a presentation to our department, we also discussed the issues of additional nuclear reactor readiness in terms of taking the role to roll out of the legal requirements. And so I will then also take the committee through the presentation. I can start with the overall presentation from the department and the development on the issues of nuclear program and nuclear technology in the country. The outline of the presentation, I'm going to take the committee through a historical background of nuclear power in the country, the contributions of nuclear power to the economy. Then I will take the committee on the discussion of the intergovernmental agreement that the country has signed with the various intergovernmental countries and the implications of South Africa. I'll talk about the investment climate, the skill development, the communication strategy, the integrated nuclear infrastructure review and mission that was conducted by the International Atomic Energy Agency for the country, the NDA. I'll talk about challenges, and at the end, the challenges in the time and around, there is an extra slide that we refer that we propose to take the committee through. These are non-core applications of nuclear technology. In terms of the background, committee members will be aware that South Africa is the only country in Africa that has got a nuclear power station. Mainly the core nuclear power station and the generator electricity here in the Western Cape. This nuclear power plant was commissioned in the last year in 1986. It's covering all the systems of the energy of 1.8 gigawatts and it's fully operational. It has operated approximately for more than 30 years and it's one of the efficient and profitable power plants within the ESCOM phase of the transition. Then in 1988, the government approved the National Energy White Paper, which is an overarching government policy that was mapping out the different options of energy that needed to be implemented and grown up further with specific energy technologies. And in respect of nuclear, the white paper noted that nuclear is an option that would need to be further investigated and be implemented in line with the integrated resource plan and also making sure that it involves defined consultation in the process of dealing with nuclear power. Moving forward, then in 2008, ECOM, as a South African utility, started a procurement as well as a sanction process for the nuclear build, wherein it was intended to roll out 40 gigawatts of nuclear power. And the ECOM then started this process, mainly to start with the 4 megawatts of the nuclear power. The building process was pretty soft in 2008, and then we realized that the financial mechanism and the cost associated with the program were high. But in 2008, to make sure that we have coordinated nuclear energy policy as it has been called in from the Energy White Paper in 1988. Government approved the nuclear energy policy in 2008, which provides a framework for government for the implementation of the Muslim Pilot Program in a coordinated manner. The framework provides that governments as the key strategic and policy objectives, governments want to be self-sufficient in the rollout of the Muslim Pilot Program through participation in all the aspects of a nuclear fuel cycle for peaceful application of nuclear technology to both our country's economy and to address the social economic needs for the country. And in this regard, government has proceeded in implementing the nuclear pilot, and our track record in the country speaks to this. We have operated the COVID nuclear power station in Turkey for more than 10 years. And it is one of the efficient nuclear power stations that is profitable, that provides electricity to the Western Sea. And in addition, to make sure that the country will lead in terms of our future in the peaceful use of nuclear technology, we have as a country operated Sahari, one year later, at the level, successfully for 50 years. And now in March, the country celebrates the anniversary of this research center that is producing the medical isotopes for world use as well as our national needs. And we are number two in the world in terms of our needs in the use of the nuclear technology for medical isotopes. And so, that's in line with the nuclear energy policy. In terms of effectively implementing the government policy objectives that have been identified in the nuclear energy policy for 2008, government approved the integrated resource plan for 2010-2020, which is a government plan for electricity for 20 years that provides a balanced mix of the various energy technologies, including the coal, the renewables, the gas, hydro, as well as nuclear. And some of this policy for nuclear, it allocates that 9.6 gigawatts of power generators from nuclear. And indeed, the plan then indicates that by 2023, the country must commission the first unit, with the next unit to follow right in 2050 in terms of the rolling out of the plan. And what is critical around this plan is that nuclear provides baseload electricity, provides clean electricity, provides cheap, affordable energy. And indeed, the work that the department has been doing together with the intergovernmental teams within the energy security subcommittee for cabinets have been to develop the technical strategies which inform government framework for the rollout of the nuclear pilot program in terms of implementing the nuclear pilot program. In terms of our key milestones, in 2005, the National Development Plan was approved by cabinet. It's a very important fundamental point that I need to highlight from the committee. The National Development Plan, in the government plan, is a blueprint that provides the pipeline as to what the government plan going forward for the next 20-30 years. This plan is informed by various plans specific for specific matters of government. One of the key matters is that it is informed by the IRP that I talked about, the Integrated Resource Plan, in terms of what the country's aspirations in terms of rolling out various technologies for making sure that we've got sufficient capacity and sufficient regional development in terms of linking. It recognizes that linking provides issues. It recognizes that it provides clean energy, and indeed, that for the country to be able to link economic growth projection identified in the regional development plan, we need linking. What the plan has said is that in order before a decision is made on procurement of the nuclear power, we need to make sure that we do a thorough technical investigation to address the health of technical issues that form the nuclear fuel cycle. Moreover, the plan calls for an investigation on the environmental impact assessment, on the safety of the nuclear technology, on the non-proliferation methods of nuclear technology, on the localization, the industrialization, the field development as part of the very key issues that the plan advised we should be thoroughly investigated, so that when government takes a decision to procure, government has been informed through this technical investigation. And indeed, in order to make sure that government proceeds with the implementation of nuclear, the Department of Energy has been over the last 8 years, been busy working on the technical strategies to create a sufficient and a sound basis as a framework that informs the government's decision-making process in order to make a decision to procure nuclear. And that work, honorable members, is an advantage made of the technical strategy that informs the entire nuclear fuel cycle to ensure that government would participate into the entire nuclear commission has been completed, and some have an advantage of being reviewed and updated to make sure that when these are presented to cabinet to make government decisions, they become government policies. So the government is now ready to proceed with the procurement of nuclear development because the technical work that informs the decision making has advanced quite substantially. And support the decisions made to procure the nuclear plants. It's a very important point which I believe is important to emphasize to the members of the committee to make sure that there is no misalignment between the nuclear bill program, what the department is doing with the national development plan. And in fact, what the department is doing is much like with aspirations on national development and to make sure that we develop the required baseload from the nuclear fuel program to ensure that the country can be self-sufficient in terms of the energy security. In terms of also one of the approaches that government approved was that we will take decision-making approach. We recognize that the nuclear build is quite a long-term program. That's a program that will live with the country for more than 100 years. Because in terms of the new generation nuclear power plant design, these nuclear power plants have got a design lifespan of 6 years. So in 6 years of an asset the country will own, this investment in now, so that this asset will be us for the long term. And in addition, the 6 year design life for the nuclear power plant can be extended to another 20 years. Now, what does that mean? It then gives us quite a correct assessment and indeed the correct position for government to proceed with nuclear power plant because we require a baseload, and we need an asset that's going to be able to produce enough electricity for the country for longer duration when the asset is in pay off. Generally, if you have a plan of paper within 20 years, you will pay off the asset and now generate electricity for the country. An example that I'd like to illustrate is an example of the community development. We have already alluded to the members of the community that it is one of the efficient and profitable run nuclear power station within the Eskom fleet. Why? because you can have clean this water actually and it costs. It has no operational cost, it has no maintenance cost, it has no fuel cost, and you will operate this asset for 8 years at the very least. And this is a strong case for governments to proceed to the development of the nuclear power. Some of the key milestones that have been achieved by the country in terms of the role of the nuclear world is that in 2013, we voluntarily invited the International Atomic Energy Agency to come to the country to conduct what we call the IDF mission, the Integrated Nuclear Infrastructure Review mission. I'll talk later on this in detail to give members perspective of how we conducted, how we implemented the IDF's recommendations and what is the work going forward in the country undertaking in this field. And also in 2013, the Department of Energy approved as the head controlling agent for the nuclear program. This is very fundamental because the Department of Energy is the lead on the energy matter. And in terms of the nuclear, it is very special. And therefore, when government takes a decision to pursue the nuclear program, government has taken a decision that that process will be led by government, not by the private sector. It is led by the Department of Energy working with the government nuclear state-owned entities. In this regard, I'm talking NEXA, I'm talking ESA, I'm talking the National Nuclear Regulator, I'm talking the institutes. All government entities within the process, being led by the Department of Energy, being the Department of Energy. One of the key milestones in this job that we prepared for the honorable members, the country undertook computers in the emergency preparedness radio mission. This is a mission which was invited by the country in order to come and set the state of readiness of our nuclear emergency infrastructure. We recognize that as a country, we have an adequate infrastructure to deal with the current problem. But if we have to expand the problem and roll out the 9.6 gigawatts, which is 10 times more than what we have for Kuwait, then it is proper and necessary that we undertake these independent assessments and independent external bodies. In this regard, I'm talking about the International Atomic Energy Agency, which comes and do a peer review on the work that has been undertaken by the country when we are doing the first assessment. So we have invited the whole government nuclear industry to do far work that will generate a self-assessment report. And that self-assessment report we then submit to the International Atomic Energy Agency and invite them to come and have a peer review in terms of how they see a state of readiness of our infrastructure to roll out the nuclear program. So we done this for that particular process, and once we have done this, we then develop an action plan which is led by the Department of Energy, working with the government research industry to develop the strategies that seek to address areas of emphasis that would have been identified in different types of action. And these types of reports, honorable members, are very important for us. Because South Africa is a member state of the International Atomic Energy Agency, and so when we expand our nuclear program, we need to make sure that it is informed and aligned with our national law and with international benchmarks, among which the International Atomic Energy then becomes a critical independent body that informs the work that we do. Some of the key milestones that 2013 the minister in my project, the National Radio Equipment Disposal Institute, which is funded in terms of impact for the year of 2008, which is an institution that will manage radioactive waste on a national basis to make sure that the country will have sufficient disposal options for all the various waste categories. Currently, we've got the government, which provides the National Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute, the National Radioactive Waste Disposal in the Northern Cape. This repository is only dealing with low and intermediate radioactive waste, and in terms of long term radioactive waste, we keep this repository matter on site, and this institution that has been now in our research, its work is to design, research, and come up with long term solutions for radioactive waste. And so we've got a company, an institutional capacity that we have built in order to make sure that when we roll out the nuclear program, we've got the necessary resources, we've got the necessary expertise. And in this, we are facing already a business partner because we've operated in Malta with the solar system for many years and now. The initial organization is one of the key milestones that, that has been achieved from the program. In fact, as we indicated, the family of members is to the IEP, and we are signatory to the non-parental relationship. We use the nuclear partnership for peaceful purposes. And when we then are going to procure the nuclear program, I must emphasize to honorable members that the nuclear technology is unique in terms of its regulation. It's strictly regulated by international laws, by international best practices, as well as our international laws. And so we all have to exchange this critical technology that we require. We need to make sure that we sign intergovernmental agreement with various countries. And indeed, the development group is working as the working on various nuclear vendor countries that have been identified that offer the nuclear technology similar to the technology that we are using in the name of PWR as a policy matter, that we will use the pressurized water reactor going forward into the nuclear plant. And we've identified these countries, they have the nuclear technology. And they have expressed interest in collaborating with South Africa, and they have expressed interest in participating in the nuclear field country, in the nuclear field program. And to mention these countries, we signed an intergovernmental agreement with the Russian Federation, France, the People's Republic of China, the USA, South Korea. And we are also in advance stage of negotiation with some of the countries that also have expressed interest in participating in the South African nuclear plant program. And that is Japan and Ghana, to make sure that the procurement process when it starts is an open, transparent, competitive, cost-effective procurement process that is aligned, compliant with our national laws for procurement. And therefore, these are the countries that we have signed intergovernmental agreement with them. I'm elaborating on the intergovernmental agreement, but it's very critical that I inform the honorable members that the intergovernmental agreements, they are not the deals. They are not the deal. When you have signed an intergovernmental agreement, what you have just signed is an operation agreement where both countries express interest of collaborating with one another on the matter of nuclear. You only begin to have a deal when you have started the procurement process and you have signed a contract. this age, there is no option that has been signed in any of these countries to implement the new cabinet. So it is not due that has been signed by the government as to who of the potential member countries will finally implement the new cabinet.
The value that the country would derive out of implementing the new
this problem. And the reason I was starting to happen in the top of the hospital, you also have a ticket in 2008 when the ELCOM was leading the nuclear views for nuclear one. And at the department, we've also conducted the economic impact of nuclear localization. And this has been completed in 2014. And also, the socioeconomic data has also been done. In terms of the estimations that we see in that, just during the 10-year construction period for the program of 10 gigawatts of nuclear. This will depend on, of course, on the localization content that will finally be approved when the government takes a decision to approve. But if we make an assumption that say 80% of the property is localized, this is what we're seeing. There's approximately 50,000 jobs, direct jobs over creators, and that will turn up to 180,000 jobs. That includes direct and indirect as well as induced jobs. During the operation time of 8 years, we can approximate 12,000 direct jobs and store them into 8,000 jobs. In the evil cost and indirect business, but what we're talking about here is talking about directly working. And we must highlight this to the community. There's a spin-off once you generate electricity with nuclear. It generates other jobs in the economy and that you couldn't quantify them. But indeed, there will be a positive effect on the rolling out of the nuclear program. Then, in terms of the baseline supply, are we talking about the baseline supply? I'm already talking about the baseline supply.
China, Russia,
from South Korea and the rest of other countries, so in Jerusalem and the same cooperation in areas of training. On the matter of communication, there is various perceptions and these are being done. First, in terms of what people believe, in terms of the knowledge of the nuclear technology, and these are the steps that provide a need for us to make sure that we can accelerate our communication strategy, roll out as well as stakeholder engagement. In his comparisons from 2011 and 2013 compared to the UK, and we can see that in terms of the space. This is also saying the speed. Honorable Chairman, now the key one that I'm talking to take the committee through, the intergraduate and nuclear infrastructure review, and nuclear, which I've already spoken a lot, it is an intergraduate nuclear infrastructure review phenomenon of the country, infrastructure as it relates to the research, such as the procurement, contracting, and operation of nuclear weapons. In this recognize South Africa voluntarily invited IAEA to come in June because we are already a family that got an operating nuclear power plant. This is a methodology developed by IAEA and the purpose of the country is a long 19 key milestone issue that cover national position, nuclear safety, safeguards for renewable infrastructure, condition protection, electrical grid, as well as procurement. It's important to emphasize the point that IAEA is an annual regulation. It is not an audit, but it is a peer review by the independent experts of the IAEA, of the country of residence to roll out new nuclear program. It is not a quantitative approach, it is a qualitative approach. In terms of rationale, we invited the IAEA with a recognition that we have last constructed the nuclear power plant in the last 30 years, which is correct. It also created an integrated national platform to pull in together the experts from government nuclear sector as well as government departments to develop self-determined reports. We also invited the division because we recognize the global changes in the nuclear safety, which are included in the finance and the team, other than what we've done in the past 10 years. And we've seen some of the land countries experiencing challenges with the nuclear safety. So we wanted to make sure we've got a better informed understanding of what are the issues and how they're affecting the country. And also to make sure that we develop our young professional. This was completed in 2013. In terms of the action that the government is taking forward, arising out of the report, is that we still go to present this report to the Energy Security Cabinet of Community, as well as the whole cabinet, to discuss the report. That's the way that we're going to do. So we still have a growing government processes to make sure it's self-enhanced. And also, the output that we receive out of this report, rather than recommendations, will integrate us into the government work that we're doing to develop the UN program. As I already earlier spoken about the Shanghai strategy, these are indeed addressing the issues that some of them derive out of this exercise. And it's not all the process. Honorable members, I believe it's important, let me give you this presentation to also highlight what are some of the challenges that the nuclear base is facing. The funding of capacity building, the training for the proper to government sector, now we're going to start with the general process to make sure that all the government institutions are ready to take up their roles to effectively lead in the various areas for the role of the executive government. This is because this budget cut that has been implemented across government in terms of making government operate effectively. And so this also has an effect in terms of the capacity that we will require from the various government entities. But we are doing such a work in terms of already targeting various areas where a certain thing is gaining more current knowledge. In this regard, the problem of energy is an issue with the national government to make sure that we find ways in which the program can be sufficiently funded so that government has sufficient capacity to deliver on this program. The most important thing is that at this stage, the government is ready to start the procurement. Extensive work has been done that is temporarily found to ensure that when the cabinet makes a decision, it is informed by the technical work that is done by professionally, very experienced professional rollout from the government nuclear industry as well as the sector, as well as the government officials that inform this entire nuclear program. Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, I'd like to thank you. I recognize the Chairperson has indicated accordingly. I would like to also take the committee through some of the non-power applications of nuclear technology. However, I'll leave that for another opportunity where we can also provide the Honourable Members with other applications of nuclear technology. Because what I've been focusing on is mainly on the power generation side of the nuclear technology. There is also daily applications of nuclear technology, which are very critical for all the people in the medical application, in the agricultural sector, in the service industry sector, which cover the entire spectrum of the world and the needs where the country needs to move to the country government. I'd like to send the chairperson.
Part of the coming in terms of additional skills training.
capacity development methods as well as changes in the impact of the situation. Now, we can hear what you want to comment.
Thank you, Chief, and thank you, Minister. Thank you, all the members. Conference call there. Go to the presentation. It's indeed in the and I think the one of the main topics that was asked was to give a brief overview of the scheme of Nexon. The overview will be brief and we will be more biased towards capabilities for the nuclear program. Nuclear was designed as a nuclear report which was established in 1956, that is after the World War I. And its main objective was to perform nuclear research and to facilitate nuclear authority at that time. And that's when the Splendor Prize was acquired in 1959. At that time, the main objective of the program was to develop and refine the selected nuclear raw materials, which is uranium, promotion of nuclear power, development of new tradition of nuclear technology and industry in Germany and agriculture, and basic research in support of the above capabilities. We know that from this program, we had some missions that the Quebec was originated, also the Safari 2, Safari 1, which was one of the outcomes of this program, and also for the capabilities within the basin and the pharmaceuticals, and also in the Amazon industry, one of the outcomes of this program. And next time we have Safari number 1, which is also a child director, the part of Atom for Peace. I think this is a very difficult for the reactor because it can achieve 50 years of space operation. So now it shows capabilities in our country of really developing technology and utilizing it in a safe fashion. And I mean, 50 years of operation is quite a significant achievement for our country as a nuclear country. Operation stage broke as part of the nuclear fuel cycle at that time was that the fluorine plant was in operation in the 1980s. This is important for the production of uranium. The production plant, which is actually prepared uranium to be enriched, was operating from 1984 to 1996. It was decommissioned in 1996. Also, it's a big commercial plant that we have had a mutual capability with operation from 1987 and the commission from 1995. So that we had as well the PWF location plant, which was in operation from 1986 to 1995 as the commission. You should remember that the capabilities at that time, the vertical screen this applied with fuel for Quebec for one, but next one is integral in making sure that Quebec is kept running and the fuel Quebec is supplied. That ensures you can supply Quebec at that time, especially when it was being required. And next one also put off competition capability for the supply fuel and the hybrid plate, which we use for the fuel production. We still have the capability and continue developing that. And one of the important things for next to inception was the operation of Falkwood with the National Radioactive Energy Storage Facility from 1986, and that currently will be headed towards the Radioactive Disorder Institute, which is recently established. That to have areas where which has full, had full competency in the fuel cycle in the uranium enrichment, which is negotiated, the fixed location, that means you could at a certain point be able to supply quality fuel to Quebec over a number of years before the market opened up and then we had to manage, we had to discontinue supply. And also the nuclear program, you know, that to get information. And that means that one of our key flagship in operations, which will be handed over to the Nuclear Institute, is operations and install of the lunar wind and intended lunar wind solution capability in space with no incidents in the past than in general. This will be a sustainable solution to deal with this problem. One of the important outcomes from next approach on peace reducing that was quite telling the sort of discussion was the establishment of NGPM Institute, which was established in 2003, 100% owned by Hansen, so it's a government university, and it serves 60 countries in supply of regulatory pharmaceuticals. It was one of the leading countries in the world, and it was quite a benefit from country in this space, and then we intend to advance this space and take advantage of the market so that we can be green in this space. So this is one area where we can show our willingness to really advance and really lead in the world. And that shows also the capability that within our country. And one of the important problems we have is the problem of how quickly over the time to show the important thing, but this is where our strategic act of chlorine is. Helgen is the only country in the Southern Hemisphere which can be used for the chemical in full spot. And it's strategic in terms of the fuel cycle, so we need to spend it with organizations to make sure that we have capabilities to when we need to restore or research recycling. As I already showed, you know, that it's quite important to use green in the information process. One of the important things to show the acceptance of our country in the peaceful use of nuclear, from 2001, we planned to convert the farming to the air from using low and rich level, which is important for our population. And this program has been successful. So that is the leading, number one is the leading reactor in terms of changing from high reach to low reach area in the production of isotopes. So this is a reputation of our country taking a lead in innovative way, which includes the development in compliance with the ensuring the integration of nuclear technology in the material. I'll give a quick overview of the nuclear current activities from NECOP study focus on three areas, focus areas, which is the energy design application, but where we most of the new products like the isotopes and the industry are being researched and new applications is sought, we can explore this in the market. And also the cost of the new program, which is mainly in other collaboration activities, mainly based in the industrial initiatives in the country. And also the new power, which is mainly focused on the manufacturing and the new production sector. I think our main area of physical research, which is quite established over the years, is in radiation and radiation. Within the physical field of radiation, where capabilities are well entrenched in NASA, there are many different particles, and we have good outputs and not only have quantity identity. The nuclear engineering, which is still basically available, the transfer technology, the process of nuclear design, and the radioactive waste management, which should be handled to the issues. And over the years, Africa has been collaborating with many organizations internally and internationally to exchange knowledge between the industry. As you mentioned, many universities and have a new protocol, especially when it comes to the realization of the pharmaceuticals. I worked in the private sector with a professional leadership in ESCOM, and also with a mentor for including also the professional police at the ESCOM. And in this time, we have strong connection with the IGA, AFRA, and collaborate with institutions and universities in the world. And we usually have a particular group of delegation to do invite to the program in these programs. As I mentioned, let's have a look at this job in terms of prevention of pregnancy and verification. We can see our feedback, which is over the years proven that we have a narrow system which has protected with the technology and the machine of radio protection phase, and also the manufacturing systems of the test and accreditation. And over the years, we've seen engineers and engineers and engineers. As I mentioned, the slide is quite a broad industry. You know, has huge opportunities to be better explored. I'm currently the main industry group states focusing about 1.0 energy dollars. And for the IT group states, about 10% of the revenue is actually paid. It's about 1.0 to use high potential, which can be further strengthened. As I mentioned as well, that fluorine is strategic. And we use also medications, like the ARVs, in the ground part of it, to improve the performance of the machine learning for running on feedback and the subjects, and quite important to have that community as a country. The next question was raised by one set of trends and choices to help the proposed nuclear program in progress today. As we know, the data is mandated by the Nuclear Act to R&D resin development in technology in South Africa. And this is also to develop NET, which is Nuclear Energy Research Development, and the Mandated Strategy, which also look at research and development in the nuclear program. So, NET is quite here to participate, but from the resin development process is fine. Support the nuclear program. As we are aware, the NET has within the constraint of discussing about the base to delegate the SMA8 and SMA3, and also having an SMA-NSM, which makes it quite hard to do design for the nuclear program, that has been strengthened to be able to enhance the validation of this proposal. Over the years, and improve nuclear in the different. And also to secure sustainability of carbon emissions. I'll hand over to Dave to continue the presentation. Thank you. Thanks, Jean-Louis. We will discuss the mission of King Finney's developments, specifically referred to the problem, or the different the areas that we focus on, in terms of collaboration with other countries, where the really covered the most difficult challenge, in the field of agricultural production society, focusing on the protection and development, safety and regulation and qualification. And there are some challenges within that where there are opportunities for us to address. Moving on, what are the implementers of the requirements for the 5-year period? Frank has already started the refugee on this 5-year period. We have accepted the situation and we've done that our 5-year period will be defined 2,500, estimated 2,500 human resources in terms of personnel. Technical those on my back in here were looking at a plant with 1,150 engineers, looking at about 300 scientists, they were about 650 technicians, and about 400 analysts. So those are the requirements of my back in here, and in terms of the requirements of the program.
Training is the training for general, and the specific training that will be targeted to the program
Okay, one would do the particular specific training, then you're building specific dedicated charge to do this. The purpose of that is to open the check, which is generally special with enterprise plan development. We last year done things in 5 years in general systems, the positive and social systems, and improved the community of the sector. There are ambitious targets which are in line with the empowerment goals, etc., and contribute to what we do to the
for
So we have been back to the Christian business decade, and with the reduction of the government was increased to 75%. And as this is where we get started, so that we are not waiting to start bringing in. As soon as all the other activities are out of the car, then all of this will run in parallel.
To comply with international norms and standards. also in terms of this, it is the tradition of the bilateral agreement. We have extreme opportunities for the NRC. For example, the US NRC, the European Commission, China, and France, and also multilateral agreements with the IAEA. Robert will publish the Center of Excellence for the Center will be 100% owned by the NR to be hosted by one of the universities and will involve participation of many South African universities and the authors one. So that's the area of reading that the NR will be interesting. In addition to the regulator, the memorandum of understanding is being signed by the chapters of universities and colleges. Or academic and research and capabilities. Infrastructure and facilities in these universities were carried out by the National Nuclear Regulator and a good picture has emerged of where the capabilities can get this local. The international counterpart, that is the universities and research centers, will augment the gap that has been identified by the NMR. The center is ambitious to spend on three key areas. It will provide teaching and learning in the area of safety and security, research and development, as well as the capacity to provide professional services in the area of intelligence and security. The ultimate aim of the Center of Excellence is to have an open group carry out a field to support both the NMR and the industry, specifically on the area of nuclear safety and nuclear security and mission protection. In terms of public assurance and emergency preparedness, the public safety information forums are well underway and they've been established and maintained in order to effectively share information on nuclear safety and emergency planning and preparedness. These are the forums that are established within the areas where they are present, like within Quebec and Nelson. The NMR continues to implement the regulatory emergency planning and preparedness exercises to provide public assurance of nuclear safety. The NMR has recently established the emergency control and response center to deal with preparedness in the event of a nuclear or radiological emergency. On the area of international collaboration, the NMR continues to play a main role in the regional forum, such as the FMRDA, which is a forum for nuclear military bodies association. With a view to strengthen the regulatory regime of the continent, the post-Fukushima recommendation emphasized the importance of transboundary regulation. And as such, the NMR continues to invest in strengthening relationships within the region in preparation for the future events. In order to leverage international experience and collaboration, to facilitate the NMR technically, bilateral agreements were signed and continue to be signed by the NMR to be on par with the end of the day. The focus is to partner more with countries that are prepared to license new nuclear power plants like South Africa or those who are in the process of doing that already. In this regard, Sweden, countries like the US, France, Russia, China, Finland, the Republic of Korea, UK, and some countries are working closely with the NMR in this region. The NMR received our system training quite from the US, France, China, and the European Commission to strengthen archaeological capability. And this is needed to assure that when the program starts, we have enough skills to deal with the program. The NMR participated in the multinational design innovation program, and the NMR, which is a forum where the leadership body exchange information and form of approach to licensing different reactor designs under the what all refugee can be. It is notable that the UNMAP is only one of three religions from a non-Orthodox country who is a member of the Indian Forum. In addition to our chapter, the NMR CEO is the vice chairman of the Religious Cooperation Forum, the RFCF, which is a board comprising of countries experiencing nuclear radiation as well as countries seeking assistance in doing their nuclear radiation intercession under the auspices of the IEA. Feedback from this forum has proven to be very valuable from the NMR Foundation for the new nuclear licensing. The NMR represents South Africa and a signature to the Convention on Nuclear Radiation, which is a peer review forum on nuclear radiation issues. And this allows to ensure, to measure up the NMR strength and weaknesses against its international counterparts. And so far, the feedback that we have been getting from these discussions points to the regulator on an upward trajectory. And indeed, it does bolster our research and capacity by us participating into all these international forums to exchange information with our international regulator. And Jonathan, I want to remember, with regard to the work that the regulator is doing, it also challenges. And it is important that we highlight the challenges to the policy. Funding for the NMR has always been one of the issues in our conversation, because the NMR receives the revenue from two streams daily, from the operator of the nuclear facilities and receives grants from the fixed grants. However, what we've been experiencing is that the grants and the fixed grants have been declining steadily over the past financial year 2015 to 2016-17. And in light of these Mandela budget cuts that are instituted by the Council of Migration Treasury, this, of course, have challenges for the NRI for it to be able to carry out its activities as well as the country's international obligations that have been assigned to additional nuclear agents. So the NMR should roll out its full steam readiness offering for new builds. The size of the NMR may literally more than double the total, totaling around 300 staff members, which indicated the current spending of at 25, but when the new buildings are announced, they will need to ramp up in terms of the capacity. But it's important to highlight to the quality that the NMR is sufficiently capacitated to deal with the existing program, and we've been gradually, in a much more coordinated and measured manner, been ramping up the appointment of the required field, the training of the required professional, and work ongoing in that sense to be sure that we have a sufficient regulator to deal with the program. In this regard, the operation of the Center of Excellence that I have already discussed would only be feasible if more funding is available to the NMR and so on in terms of its capacity. It's important to highlight the funding constraint that the NMR has experienced due to budget cuts. It may limit the NMR's regulatory ability to carry out its mandate. With that, Chairman, I'd like to thank you very much for your opportunity.
referring to today is the government's decision into unit of insurance. What's interesting about it, there are three paragraphs which in the document, two of which actually talk about pursuing gas and other renewable sources as more favorable sources than nuclear power. I'd like to just read a particular paragraph which I think will be relevant to the department and perhaps to the minister as well. According to the Integrated Resource Plan, more nuclear energy plants will need to be commissioned from 2023-2024. We are in 2015. Although nuclear power does provide low carbon based low alternatives, South Africa needs a thorough investigation on the implementation of nuclear energy, including its costs, financing options, institutional arrangements, safety, environmental costs, and benefits, localization, employment opportunities, and greater emissions and fuel fabrication possibilities. While some of these issues were investigated in the IRP, a potential nuclear fleet will involve a level of investment unprecedented in South Africa. An in-depth investigation into the financial viability of nuclear energy is thus vital. The National Nuclear Energy Sector Coordinating Committee, NNCCC, chaired by the Deputy President, will have to make a final software decision on that for the nuclear future, especially after actual costs and financing options are revealed. Chair, I'd like to draw your attention to the IRP, which IRP update of 2013. The reason I'm doing this is that this government has better to the last official government policy than it has been. The department has confirmed that the RP 2013 update was never in fact submitted to cabinet and therefore was never actually rejected, it's just never been considered. But this is important because I'm going to read on the RP and it's exactly what's stated in the NDP. I'm reading from the summary on page 8 and it says, the nuclear division can possibly be delayed. The rise of mine projections suggests no nuclear baseload capacity required until after 2025 and for lower than most non-nuclear areas 2035, and that the alternative options such as regional hydro that can fulfill the requirements and allow further exploration of shale gas potential before prematurely committing to technology that may be redundant to electricity demand expectations from mass materialize. So while Mr. Mugger made a clear point that the NDP and the IRP are aligned, you've actually joined an IRP that was never actually accepted by government. So we have a very specific problem here, in that the NDP doesn't actually support government procurements, and the first question I'll start from that is, you know, referring to. So government has said that IRP can depend on farming documents and procurements and nuclear, and yet the NDP actually refers to the 2013. So either the 2013 when the cabinet was adopted and its government policy as referred to in the NDP, or again. So is the NDP the document you're referring to, or is the IRP 2010? I think the Minister and the Department have quite well that they can just figure out and say to the African people. So it's clear what it means that this is a political decision that we're not acting to retrofit so-called government policy support. In actual fact, it's not support, it's only NDP, and the insurance of the government that's never actually accepted. That's the first concept we need to have. Chair, the next one that I'd like to raise specifically is this issue of financing and procurement. The problem is that they've been working quite hard on this for quite a while and have reached this opportunity and process. I submitted questions to the Minister of Finance on the 20th of, well, before the 20th of April and before the 20th of April to receive the very, very broad responses. My questions were around financing and how I contend to finance the nuclear deal. This is the response from Treasury. There's been ongoing engagement between the department that indicates that government is taking a careful and thorough analysis of financing options to ensure that affordability and long-term sustainability of the financial funding of state and agency like SM. The work is taking place under auspices of the Nuclear Energy Checking Committee, which is led by the Department of Energy and comprises of representatives from various departments, including National Treasury. In response to our National Treasury will thank the funds, National Treasury says, we have certainly highlighted the importance of undertaking a thorough assessment, given that it would be a substantial financial commitment and that the procurement process to be followed must be matched up in detail, fully compliant legally and drawing on international best practices. Chair, what's happened for us today is not that. So it's very strange, Chair, that we are wanting to buy something which we don't know the cost of. We don't know how we're going to pay for it. Now, generally, Chair, compared to anyone buying an automobile, you kind of know the price of the car and you know which bank you're going to finance. So how are we even in a conversation today when there's not a single amount of clarity on exactly what we are procuring? Are we procuring 1 reactor, 3 reactors, 4 reactors, 6 reactors, 8 reactors? What is that going to cost us? And we've just gone and sent the brochure of all these suppliers. Cannot tell me. The department has no clue exactly how much the potential cost against the other states around us. So, Chair, I'm asking, I'm referring back to the NDP, that they would have revised the assessment of cost and finance models in that visit based on regional media. And yet, the department announced, or the minister announced, that we're going ahead with commissioners when we don't know, or we don't have those very specific things in place. What is going to cost? What are the financial arrangements? It seems to me, Chair, we have, I think it's the donkey, or the donkey, or the cost, or the donkey, or the analogy. And I find it to be troubling. How do we find something we don't know the cost, and we don't know how we're going to pay for it? Chairman, I think the other key issue is on transparency. The minister, the president, and the department have ongoingly told us that this will be transparent and accountable process. And yet, Chairman, I've had to run around like a head of chicken trying to get hold of that IMIR report, which is referred to under the number. Now, what's very strange is that the IMIR report from July is publicly available on the international website of the IADA, as are the subsequent reports for many other countries. The subsequent report is classified. In questions to the department on where this report is, there was actually confusion at the end of the parliament. The department took the undertaking to write this report to parliament in November. I subsequently asked the minister for the document, she promised to provide to me, the document has never been forthcoming. I then had to subsequently submit a prior application. The prior application said to refer back to the Department of Energy. So if we're talking about transparency, where is this document? It's an assessment of whether we are ready or not for release here. And yet the department won't give us the details of what's in that document, how they respond to the document, which is told that there was an assessment done, it's not an order type, we are taking action to remedy the situation. But even stranger is that that document hasn't been advanced in cabinet. It was done 2 years ago, it's only going to cabinet now. When the action can be committed, and if it's also to be standing committed, the minister isn't aware of the shortcomings were, the cabinet aware of the shortcomings were, the cabinet aware of where we are going to solve any issues. Against not in the presentation, Chair, and I think right now I'm not really feeling very high on transparency measures in terms of how this is being handled. And frankly, I'm very little worth of arms or two or arms or C4 right now. Chair, that also goes for international government agreements. We're sure that they're completely non-controversial, and yet they still have not committed to this Parliament. We are waiting, is there a data that might come so that we can evaluate them as parliamentarians who are very hard relying on second information from the news media about what is and what is not contained in this document. If they're not controversial and you're committed to transparency, please provide them to Parliament and make them publicly available at the earliest possible opportunity. Chair, again, I just want to touch on the issue of the Deputy Director General Greg about studies on investment has been done. Again, why are these documents made publicly available? Where are they? What do they mean? So if thinking around funding going on, we need to know what it is, Chair, we need to make it publicly available. The NDP as a plan for government will severely undermine with the choice from here, which means they were taking state resources away from various other kinds of governments and pumping them into Nisha. That is the choice we are making. So social development, policing, all those other areas in our economy and our government will be affected by this decision. If you go to the climate, you know, the magnitude, and thank you, Chair, it makes the policy the whole thing we can if we take a decision that actually isn't supported by data, by economic modeling, by pricing, we have a huge problem. Chair, on point of clarity, we would very soon understand what the procurement process looks like. The Minister has referred to the procurement process starting in quarter 2, and that will be confused by the end of the year. I'm very grateful that government can prepare anything that quickly, considering that we need to be able to do that in very other areas of government. So please, in the department, clarify for us what is the government legislation, there seems to be some disputes over what that might be, who will be responsible, where will the procurement process be housed? Will it be housed with the National Media Regulator or will it be housed with the Department of Energy? On the procurement process, we run it in the Minister, which is promised accountability and transparency, any ideas on how we're going to avoid an arms deal too. I'm hoping that the Minister will see to request by the Democratic Alliance or some kind of parliamentary oversight committee over the procurement process. It's fundamental that Parliament be directly involved and participate in the procurement process of what could be 1 trillion rand in South Africa. Chair, I'd like to move on to the NAR. I'm a little bit confused as to why the presentation of the NAR is being made by the department, not the NAR itself, or maybe I don't understand the institutional arrangement, but I would hope to think that there's a separation between the department and the regulator. The Minister Mbambo referred to key shortcomings in the NAR. Very, very much like to know what the shortcomings are in detail and some kind of level of specification. because thinking that there are severe capacity problems at the MMR that you passed over, that aren't being dealt with. For example, how many of your MMR staff are actually qualified nuclear reactor operators? How many of them actually work in the field of nuclear science or actually work at Cooper? From my understanding of sources in the field, the MMR is very great at it and takes 2 years to complete some of the most basic functions. This is obviously not helpful considering that we're about to massively expand the number of reactors in the country. I'd also like to know if MMR has any comment on a recent report by the World Association of Nuclear Regulators. It's also a peer review slash audit, which is undertaken every 2 years. In the report, which we'd like to see where it can, apparently, the report identifies key skill shortages in the nuclear industry and specifically at Cooper. It highlights inadequate management at Cooper. It indicates that systems of cash-strapped nature undermine the safety culture and ability to manage Cooper safely, and recognize an overall design of safety culture at Cooper, which obviously is deeply, deeply worrying for the concern not just those living around Cooper, but also the ability of the MMR to respond to expanded regulatory requirements or problems. Chair, I understand one MMR I'm deeply, deeply concerned. To my mind, I do not see a regulator that is robust. I see them fundamentally cutting under the pressure of the training program that is rigorous and intensive. And fundamentally, I also question the ability, even with additional staff, which again, understand exactly how the skill going to be met in that time, but for how they can effectively relate to the age rates in the environment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr.
around on the internet, and that's where people go and tend to find their information. So I think
who are doing visible jobs in trying to give a positive picture, especially the seniors here out here doing. So I want to talk about the disposal of centrifuge. We talk about cultures and how the nuclear active material, the contaminated material is buried under the ground. And today we don't know what to do with the centrifuge at Kruger. It's in a pool here, it's stockpiled here, and we want to go take more reactors. And of course, we will not know what to do with the fuel. And we just stockpile it, and we hope that someday something would arrive and we would be able to deal with that big pool of fuel that's in. And then, you know, what are you going to do if in 2023, as the report said, we would have to be decommissioned? Where is that fuel going to go? I mean, it's not far from now. I think 2023 was 2032. Yeah, the decommissioning date. I mean, you know, it's just very funny that we don't know what to do with it and we want to start building something as well. And that fuel is still there at Kruger. And it worries me quite a lot that it's sitting right at my backyard. And then, you know, all the different countries have different technologies. So if you are in China, you have a different type of technology of the nuclear reactor. France is different, America is different, and even Russia is different. So now we are sending these people to be trained, these students. We send them on 2 to 8 day courses, and we send them on 15 to on 20 day courses to China to train for all these advanced courses. So does it mean companies usually stick to the same technology as what they have done before, because they have learned lessons, and they have learned a lot, and people can be interface between different power stations if you will more. So now these people are being sent to China, and it makes you think that, you know, the technology part that we will be using, because, like I said, if you are buying a car, you're going to buy a 1300, a 1600, at least a lot of money, a plane to transport the president, and you've got, well, no one's not doing it in government. Well, you can't decide what technology we are doing. That's not that one now, and I think you still have to know what it is. And it sounds like if we are seeing a big one to find maybe that is the technology we will be using. I don't know. So that means, like I said, if you are able to procure something, you at least know what you want to buy. We can't go on a fishing terminal, you know, fish or what. I also see you have converted the Ithema lab, which is also a reactor that's in Ketown in Flora. And Flora that also does, I think, medical, intensive medical research. I see that in previously in the presentation, but I didn't say to what extent they will be involved. And then, when we can settle the nuclear reactor project, that affect us losing our nuclear experience and nuclear ability. I think that project, we had a lot of nuclear physicists and people working on it, but that's all in the country now to be in the process and where they are able to actually do their work. And I would like them to tell us how we're working. And then I read one system report and I see that diesel supply, it's based on a jump number, but it's estimating and it talks about Fukushima's blasting accidents and a lot of it says the main part of the interest of Kruger is the need to supply of diesel fuel to the site to maintain power supply and the sustained loss of external power. And we currently have 48 hours of diesel fuel on site, and that's all we have. So we are able to sustain for 48 hours the pump that actually powers this nuclear centrifuge that you don't know what you want to do with it yet. And I mean, that is a disaster to guard it to contemplate. I don't want to think about it. But why don't you just build a bigger tank and put it in confusion? I mean, why should you be the number one main meat business of Kruger? And then also see in the same report they said that the Indian gas turbine and Angeles and the Kenya power station provide 52 KV backup electrical supply for Kubert, these units, and the Soviet transmission line became dedicated to Kubert should the need arise. Now, we are running this at full tilt to supply power to the South Africa, and my common sense tells me that if you run something at full blow now, the time when you How does this affect the whole, we have a doomsday plan and a doomsday scenario. How does that affect it? And why are we not fixing that problem of the 48 hours of people on the home site? I mean, it's just been worrying that it's not here and we are not dealing with those and we want to build new power stations. I mean, thank you very much.
Energy. I don't think
think that the minister would require a better student. In this state of the National Trust, 2004, President Nathan said to the point that in South Africa, we are moving into one or we are four energy links. And this energy link, it includes this new fear that we are so obsessed about as the community. It's not an affirmation of the fear. And already, there are solar farms across the country, about 37, if not more, of them, that are in operation. So to say in newspapers that the Minister of Energy does not have this particular energy source is rather deceivable. Or probably people suffer from denialism of the fact that a government is actually doing something when it comes to issues of energy in our country. So unemployment is because they are already in the media, because our portfolio committee started long ago through the newspapers, but because we are not so certain about this is a physical problem for us to correct all the things that is out there, which in fact the people putting in the media know about all the facts behind the whole thing that they decided to put out to the media.
Thank you, Chair. Do you remember nuclear is one of my favorite groups for this time? Although I have no objection to the development of nuclear energy as part of the Fission Energy Mix, we need to offer a similar uncertain hand that the government is going to start with the nuclear program. One of the programs is more than three times part of the building and completely combined the infrastructure for the little amount of electricity, which is truly a right way to spend the taxpayer money. And I would say yes. We are not much concerned with the fact that Bitcoin will not, for the last few years, not spending or not planning for tomorrow. We must change the potential of the country. The honor said that despite the comfort of having the nuclear fuel in the backyard, I would go 10 times rather stay next to nuclear plant and do a coal firing operation and still down for kilometers. And on a presentation on a nuclear, by 5% drops during operational period of 80 years, I think that was ambitious. A nuclear plant maximum life of about 60 years. Nuclear, my expert picture on the security of supply, that we have to use nuclear energy as a more powerful and more efficient way than anything, than any alternative energy. And I'm hoping to hide also, can you do, could you power 24/7 with a very little maintenance? Well, the cost of a nuclear plant is very high. The cost of uranium or fuel that is used is very low and it's quite freely available. It requires also a very little amount of uranium. Any one of the petite ladies here has 28 grams of uranium that they can offer with their one hand, releases as much energy as 1,000 metric tons of coal. That is really something that is much to transport and of course it's challenges. Of course it's challenges. Nuclear waste can never be seen like the but luckily everyone learns from what happened. And nuclear waste produced is actually a small in comparison with the toxic waste produced currently in this country and all over the world. Nuclear waste, I think, is about 80,000 tons to about 300 million tons. Only 0.1% of that is actually radioactive. course, the mining is not uranium oxide concentrate from iron or the other players, as it's called, it's called on top secret. It's only when it turns into a gas that's been enriched. Because as far as we've learned, everyone's learned, and even in Japan, they recycle their old nuclear waste. Reprocessing has already been done in Europe, and France, I think, and Russia. And Japan is building an 800 ton reprocessing plant in Rokara Shore in Japan. On the next presentation, I just want to ask, we've heard in this oversight committee that this nuclear body faces financial meltdown. The core of this NESCO is actually the 100 scientists and about the 40 engineers that has employed. So how does this compare with your field development? How do they fit the five core employees, the scientists, all engineers? And even financial difficulties that NESCO presently has, that we hear they are unable to pay their corporation fees to the National Nuclear Regulator. And this is the existential to nuclear sciences at the risk. You know, this is just could cause a few exposures on the eve of this grand nuclear goal. And finally, Chair, if we are going to commit the substantial funds to investing in nuclear energy, it should not be for consumption only, but to build additional benefits through becoming an exportable commodity. Nuclear program that should be based on an accuracy supported by incentives and details of benefits in the that the long-term benefits will outweigh the cost. And this is also possible. This is also possible. These are rising countries here in Nigeria that have taken up economical with all their wealth and natural resources. It's suffering from energy. They will buy anything that South Africa can and will be able to produce. Thank you.
to the honourable member of some very detailed questions and inquiries. The honourable chairperson is correct that we need to bring Zulia into the context of the country's growth trajectory as well as the commitment that the country has made. And this is clearly articulated to all in the greater human resource plan the country will have a mix, energy mix that comprises of the various technologies, the coal and the gas and the hydro, and the nuclear and renewables. And when you look into this, the plan has got a capacity of 42 gigawatts by 2030. And you look into, in terms of the definitions that we allocated for various technologies, then you will discover that the renewables will constitute 14% of this allocation by 2030. So there is quite a large capacity that has been allocated to the renewables. And indeed, the country is progressing to implement the renewable program, and we was one of the factions of the renewable procurement program that has been well recognized as well. And when you look over to the plan, we understand that the plan provides only 23% of the nuclear program by 2030. And that's based on the current projection. And one of the key points, just as I mentioned, and that we need to also bring into the attention of the committee, is that we've got the ESCOM aging coal power station. And these coal power stations will be retired around 2023. And during that time, it means South Africa will require to replace the capacity that will be retired from ESCOM's coal-fired power plant. And it's different choices in terms of energy options that can provide the base load that will be required in South Africa. We've got nuclear to provide the base load. We've got coal, which currently provides about 90% of current energy. But we took a decision as government that we want to reduce the coal contribution because of the reason that we want to reduce the carbon footprint of the country. And hence, when we look into the integrated resource plan, coal will contribute less than nuclear, will contribute less than renewables are 2050. So, if you have coal, we're going to be abandoned in our country. But I have to admit to you our carbon footprint to make sure we can comply with our international obligations in terms of carbon emission. One source that then comes quite clearly to what is required to ensure that we will produce is nuclear. Provide clean energy, provide a base load, cheap electricity, and a lifespan, divine lifespan of years, and because you can expand it now further into another 20 years, so you've got 20 and 8 year periods of investment that requires a significant capital injection for a start, which the time you must pay within 20 years. Once you have paid that investment, then you reap the reward. The return on investment becomes huge. That is why we have there's an example that is reinforced the core nuclear power plant of the most efficient and profitable power plant within the countries. And if we go forward with the nuclear plant, there are questions we are also asked to by the other members as to how many reactors are we going to produce. In terms of the current technologies, we're going to procure a 9.6 gigawatts of nuclear power. And this, you could roll it up in terms of anything from 6 reactor units up to 8 reactor units, depending on the type of technology we will select when the procurement process is being finalized. So, if we don't have this huge problem, it means the government will have assets that will provide electricity for more than 6 years just providing profits for the state. And indeed, that will then bolster the economy of the country. Because for the nuclear development, we are not only looking at buying the nuclear power plants, but we are looking at creating an industry. So the manufacturing of the components that will be used into the nuclear power plants. And so it becomes very critical to industrialize South Africa. And with that, the superior advantage that we get when we develop the nuclear power plant, we are not only generating power through the nuclear power station, but we are creating this industry, particularly the mining, development and become self-sufficient through the use of baseload electricity, clean, cheap electricity, not requiring initial investment to put it through, and when operated, it's got low cost related to fuel, low cost related to the maintenance, longer life spent for the nuclear power plant. So it stays intact within 20-year periods and it becomes a cash cow operating going into the future, 8 years to come. So that's a case for nuclear and the solution. And then there was a question around that around the transparency as to why the IAEA annual report for South Africa is classified when other countries are not classified. And it's important that we highlight that we receive a report and to put through a government policy to make sure that it is presented at a high level of decision making, and that this will be appraised to the report outcome and the work that the country will come to deal with it. And at that stage, until this report has been discussed by government and government pronounced and take a decision on it, it is still in the government process. And that we must be able to wait for sources to run its cost. The question I raised as to the presentation of the intercontinental agreement that they need to be presented to Parliament. And indeed, our minister has committed that in the next few weeks, this intercontinental agreement will be presented to Cabinet and the parliamentary process associated therewith will then unfold. So they will be going to Parliament. And there was a question to where the financing for the program will come from. It's a very important question. And as the Department of the National Treasury, we have done extensive studies. We've done the financing model for the program. We've done the financing for the owner operator and optimal structure. We've looked into the update of the cost of the service, and all of this work Responding to the government decision making process, so the government will then be in a position to say this information is sufficient for making the decision. But it is important that one will acknowledge that this thorough work has been done. It will not be in the best interest of the government to start releasing the information while it's still undergoing the necessary processes. The government needs to serve in cabinet and then that needs to take a decision on what has been determined. What we have done is that it has clearly indicated that the government has a sufficient basis, sufficient benchmark or foundation that enables the government to proceed on this decision. And also, crucial for the honorable members to appreciate that we are still going to start a procurement process. And if you, for strategic reasons, you need to be able to obtain the cost efficient information, but you need to engage with the market. And when you engage with the market, you engage it on the basis of the national investment cost. And when you negotiate to finally come up to final decision, that's why you come up with the extra cost. Because we only know the extra cost once you've got the information from the bidders who are telling you the exact cost of their technology. At this stage, all this you can give will be estimated and measured. We need to be cautious in doing that, that we give estimate on prices, which may end up being different when we actually engage in the actual procurement process, because we would have got actual information that the bidders did not have for that technology. So that's the process close. And also, the question was saying the misalignment between the IRP, it's not as just that I provided the honorable members with clarity around the IRP 2013. The IRP 2013 is still a draft document, and that document has never been appropriate cabinet. And the existing government approved IRP is the IRP 2010 and 2020, which is the IRP that we are currently implementing as a government approved document. And we have been able to roll out a renewable program in line with the IRP, and we have been able to engage on hydro. We signed the grant to make sure that we prepare to also roll out the hydro. And similarly, we are rolling out a new flexibility program in line with approved IRP. And there is no contradiction in that. We are implementing the IRP that's been approved by government. The draft IRP remains the draft until such time it's been approved. And the IRP is still in the draft stage and it has not been approved. And therefore, the work that we need to do is to make sure that the approved document is implemented and it has all the energy mix and implementing the entire energy mix in a coordinated manner to make sure that government has an energy solution that is informed by its approved policies. The conversation that the honorable member pointed out, the MEC correctly says we need to start an investigation on the new consultant when final decisions are made in Sarah information that informs the decision. And we correctly following the IRP in terms of what the MEC in terms of what it's required as a department. I've highlighted that the department has done extensive work which started more than 8 years in terms of developing technical strategies that inform the technical decision making process to create a framework that informs government rule. And so there is no contradiction with what we've done. We've done thorough work into all the aspects that are being called for by the NDP, because we set up six technical working groups that address all the 19 key milestones, nuclear milestones that are identified in the IEA methodology. And the honorable member already spoken about the energy people, we need to design an investigation on French of the technology, we need to design an investigation on the issues of skills development and organization, thorough work on the industrialization, thorough work on the environmental assessment, thorough work on the non-proliferation issue and safeguard issue, and indeed, thorough work on the financing and the cost of the project. And indeed, all this work has been done through this technical working group for government and the government's nuclear sector. And this is this work that informs the decision-making process of government. The environment management is indeed all we do is addressing call for the national development and the first to the power investigation so that when the final goal of stop decision is made, the whole picture comes. And all of this is being done. Funding and procurement, there are questions to who will be responsible for this procurement. We've represented in the fact that the Department of Energy will be the procurement agent for government as the lead into this program. And there was also a clarity sought as to where will this be housed. The Department of Energy will establish a program management office which will deal with this to manage the procurement for government. Obviously, working with the nuclear state-owned entities that are the implementing agents for the government. There were questions around the NMR capacity to deal with the demand of the nuclear build program, and that was one question. And I need to provide assurance to the committee here that we could grant the whole amount and recommendations with an additional recognition. The regulator is facilitating itself in a much more measured way. The honorable members have noted that the regulator has grown by 20%, that is from 95 to 125, growing its resources. And in doing that, the regulator is stepping in the required resources to make sure that we could lighten the nuclear program. It's important to recognize that it will not be important for the regulator to create a broader structure when a decision of the project has not been announced. Now, what the regulator is doing is that on a phased approach, it's training the people to make sure it's ready. We've got bilateral agreements that is leveraging on with the renowned nuclear countries, the US, France, Russia, China, and all of this. Through this international collaboration, our regulator is strengthened. And also, they're in a position to bring the capacity that we require for the rollout of the nuclear program. Then there was a question around nuclear material that was found in Titan and how do we protect our borders have the call for ambition, moments are around our borders. This is a matter that is controlled. We have official systems in place in the country to deal with the protection of nuclear materials. We have never said to the IAEA, we have decided to sign up for the information treaty. And there is work that is ongoing to protect our borders to ensure that nuclear material is protected. There is projects that have been ongoing between South Africa and the IAEA to come to the information of the Chinese monitor around our borders to detect nuclear material. As we speak, a team of South African experts going to land in other international countries which have implemented the system of permission for the monitors to also run a very conventional government role of the system in the country. We did this and we also have done benchmarks in other countries. So this area is adequately addressed, and of course, there is systems that are looking to make sure that strengthen our nuclear security to ensure that when we roll out the program, the issues of the recognition of the radioactive material are addressed. We will go to the next one, as our government agency responsible for non-proliferation issues and implementation of the settlement agreement. And we've got various security agencies that also deal with the potential of nuclear security. We've got the laws that deals with it. These various country institutions are identified as national key points and activities, and therefore strict security requirements are applied and are being applied. Then there was a question as to what technology South Africa going to buy. I've addressed this honorable gentleman by saying that we will determine the technology when we have completed the procurement process and we identify the dealer or the strategy partner that will provide technology. So that decision is coming. However, the honorable member was asking whether we send children to train in China, have we already decided that we're going to buy the Chinese technology? No. That decision was not made. We are training the people to gain the necessary training, because the training is generic. It's just about the reactor technology. It is different and far different when it comes to the operational training. But the rest of the time is applicable to a range of nuclear technology. And so, when we provide the opportunity for certain students to train in different countries, it should be understood from the context that there is no technology selection that has been made of a particular country where we're serving these people. It's only going there to gain the generic training that is offered there. And they can train in highly advanced universities that make sure that these countries become the leading nations. So, it is our aspiration that we also become the leading nations. And so we're telling our people to gain this knowledge in different countries. But both countries where the people go have not yet been selected by the old technology in some countries. There was a question that Itam Bandex, and the question was, to what extent will Itam Bandex be involved in the nuclear program? And indeed, what I remember, the government rolling out this program to make sure that all the relevant government state-owned entities participate in the program in terms of implementing their roles. And so Itam Bandex is one of the key government employees will also be involved because they want research and development in the area of medical exercises. So you will be involved in the program to make sure that it takes part for the rollout of the program in its own role. The reason why which sought to get clarity that the IEA South Africa is deficient in 40% of the 19 milestone, nuclear milestone. But I remember I wish to highlight that the IEA, the Integrated Nuclear Infrastructure Review Process, is a quantitative process. Not a quantitative process. Therefore, the numbers that have been mentioned, we can clarify that the size of the process is a quantitative process, and we're not talking about numbers. So, how many percentages this can be obtained of the 19 key milestones? And also, it involves an audit. There was a question to say who will be responsible to pay for the project, what is the contribution of the association to the project. We're still investigating these matters. However, we're looking into the different sources of funding in the market. We're looking into project financing with different financing options and different banks, different financing options, and also then the in future be determined once a decision has been taken of the funds. Honorable Chairman, I'd like to thank you.
Consumer pay for the capital construction cost of the plant. Either way, in the model, the government finds
household, but very few significant tariff increases, which remain between classes and tariff increases in Vietnam, look back our way. The best of that is the new support program has the potential to effectively grow consumer part of the market. How will that mean all this electricity that's being widely provided by the fund on the power station? It is no point in providing incentives to counter afford the electricity which they generate. And the department can identify the larger market secrecy will allow you to negotiate. But the fact of the matter is, they don't give us any indication of how procurement new tax will affect our back pockets and what will impact on the economy in terms of jobs, in terms of cost, input costs across the economy, and how will that actually impact the firm. So I don't know if this is, frankly, it's rubbish. You need guarantee from the department that what they pay to you, they should pass this information and it's not about being technical or secret. They need to know how to do that. I'm also very surprised. The INIR report takes 2 years to go to government processes. The procurement process can be conducted within 6 months. This report came out in 2013. The department said it can't share it with us because we're not going to have the process first. Yes, they happened at the end of the whole parliament. The department gave the undertaking to the member department of the whole parliament to provide them with that document. So the president and the minister are all going on media, but the can't process the INIR report and make it available to South Africa. Solid is also about whether solid paper or quantum paper. You're a set on managing category. In the category, you can use words to say, you do not understand that you are efficient. It doesn't have to be a number, it can have a percentage. And as far as you can tell, you also have seen that report inside it and inside whatever else. That report clearly indicates that there are significant challenges to that civil mediation expansion program. Chair, the point on NDP versus the IRP is not really anything. Right? The NDP clearly references an IRP document which the government claims is not government policy. So does the IRP 2010 supersede the NDP, which is a binding policy of government? Where are we standing? This is not just a point of which report is right. It's fundamental to the question of, is this a political decision taken for political reasons, or is this actually a policy implication based on data and economic facts and the actual demand for electricity? Check. The department and the minister like to reference the 2010 IRP, and I want to just read to you here, based on a 2011 article. In May 2011, the Department of Energy presented the Integrated Resource Plan 2010, which mapped out the electricity generation target for the next two decades. When this plan was announced through the Department of Energy completed the budgeting program, the result was that the most cost-effective plan, which also met our carbon emissions and secured supply constraints, did not include nuclear. The party then reinserted nuclear power as a macro policy, basically because we have a policy on nuclear and we need to use it. So even when the minister and the government keep referring to the 2010 documents, the Department of Energy has clearly indicated before that the only one indicates that nuclear is problematic in terms of cost, and we should rather consider our alternatives first.
Solutions are not exclusively found in the NDP.
If the solution to our energy challenges were found in the ABP, we would not have to redesign our models to solve our energy challenges. We are guided by laws and policies. The law which guides us around nuclear is the Nuclear Energy Act, Act 46 of 1999, promulgated and signed on the 20th of December 1999. Then we have a nuclear energy policy, which guides our operation. The nuclear energy policy was passed in 2008. The act was passed by Parliament. There has never been an act since the Nuclear Energy Act, 46 of 1999. If there has to be an amendment of that act, that is the guidance we seek from this committee. Committee is the best to us. It does not cost the opportunity to get the nuclear energy act. Now, for us to solve our energy problems, our immediate energy problems, the renewable energy program, or the IEP program, is a flagship program for us to procure energy. We have procured 4,322 megawatts in less than 4 years through the IEP program. Programs and our comprehensive response is to have affordable energy and renewable energy. That's our immediate response and combination of energy supply and demand options. Outcomes is also to bring in the private sector with private participation in these initiatives. The private participation is what made the IEP project a success. Open, transparent, tender process made the IEP project a success. Now, if we use the IEP project as a benchmark, The first step in procurement was the request for information. We are following the process of request for information through the vendor survey and through the various interactions with different governments. The second benchmark for the IEP is the request for proposals. That is when the IEP presents us a funding model, cost of funding, and various other options which are being evaluated. So let's get back to nuclear energy. The IEP report would be part of the roadmap for implementation and for the next step. Part of the current step, so we ask the IEP to do a report. Remember, the nuclear program started way before the thermal bomb. So when you ask for the IAEA report, it was part of us asking an international objective body to evaluate our weaknesses and our shortcomings, but also to make recommendations. Strengthening our institutions and our capacities happened to be part of those recommendations. This year, the manual from the IAEA has been to our country with the agenda here. We will be meeting again later this month to update us on what are the processes in the organization as well as the international solution for what it is we still need to do, what it is we still need to do in response to the recommendation of the report. Also requested DG Romano of the IAEA to give us international experts to monitor the process step by step from a totally technical perspective, procurement perspective, as well as looking at the expertise that is required from each and every state. The IEIA, Environmental Impact Assessment, has become a major focal area in currently located DPE, staff of the EIA, Environmental Impact Assessment, and the EIA is very critical for our state public audit and public proceeding in the state. Those EIAs are completed by Environmental Affairs and approved by Environmental Affairs. Cannot just be taken at face value without input from communities and all stakeholders, including our various experts, before we can start the process of choosing sites from offering treatment sites. So those sites will also be chosen along with requests for proposals. The treasury funding model, again, the best model we are having, including outside partnerships or private partnerships, the best model we get that from, the model of the ICTs. Funding was required for those ICTs through public private partnerships, but basically through PPAs or power purchase agreements. Once Econ pays ICTs power purchase agreements, they raise capital on global markets, and most of the capital for the ICT was raised from commercial banks in South Africa. What is our concern? The concern we have raised with the IAEA is act as a monitoring body for what we seek to do, our processes and our roadmap. One, implement the central project plan, the means to the construction issues in the field, capital cost, the cost of services procured for the construction of the facility, the finance charges, the land cost, mobilization of fees to the operations contractor, the cost payable to the distributor, the network transmission cost, whether the contractor can do the distribution connection work, the transmission connection, the entire value chain until we get to the consumption per household based on that contractor or the residential sector. So a detailed mapping exercise including the equivalent of full-time employment opportunities for 100% per year, what the technical expertise will do, what they will offer, two opportunities for valving. So there's high level technical skills, two skills which we discussed in the GPA, 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 resource land in our country, but which we ended up importing. Rather, we ended up being relevant to our country when we took their jobs. Part of the procurement process is also to look at the local context. The local context is to achieve industrialization and to ensure that there is local content during construction. What percentage of the content, material will be imported, what percentage will be locally procured. If we need to procure locally, what this grown industry will be grown, and what the jobs and business opportunities will be. And the job years during construction, looking at what job years will be, the job years during the operation, but this education is growing opportunities for our African citizens. And that is all the goals when we need to the training of our Africans, intellectual property which belongs to South Africans, and the long-term ownership of the facility, and the long-term funding model, which means that when the final funding model requests for proposal are returned to us, that is part of the criteria when we assess those proposals. The risk and risk mitigation. According to this, we were asking the global international safety standards and take also the procurement process in how we mitigate global and international safety alerts. Those safety alerts, the evaluation from our current year to make a difference from this moment. So the cost analysis therefore across the entire region will be assessed. That competitive delivery process will also be generated by the IDA, as will be discussed with Regional Mayor towards the end of June. In terms of the program that we have, the agreement on beneficiation, the commitment to beneficiation and how we will start to beneficiate strategic minerals, the rare metal initiative of the TGI, and parallel to the program within the Ministerial Committee of Cabinet Energy Security Committee. There's a group of ministers looking at from a level platinum, how we do the beneficiation of our own platinum, since South Africa is one of the two large suppliers of platinum in our country. Part of the Limitless Initiative, if we look at the business side, if we look at the beneficiation of our own steel, how we unlock areas for the stimulation of our economy, for the stimulation of new industry, and the stimulation of job creation, and sell out in the end. So when we look at the NDP, this is the nutrient renewable program. That has not been focused on a very narrow perspective of the NDP. It has looked at the economic growth potential of the project and how we unlock the project for South Africa Incorporated. South Africa Incorporated, of course, have had as much information as possible, so we invite South Africa Incorporated to go to Telegram, to go to Google. On the 14th of June, we will be hosting the AUA of Telegram. The AUA will go to Telegram if you interest in what we are doing to the nuclear space in the quantum and global. Lastly, as we have seen, is the advancement of new technology, research and innovation. The DGI is investing with EXA in skill development for new technology, for new businesses to be created. And it comes again to the tariff and the tariff structure. We will bring two parliaments and two cabinets, the energy regulator amendment bill, which is to give us an appeals authority to NERSA. Because what happens now is that if NERSA issues a license or a tariff, there's no appeals authority to companies which wish to appeal or institutions which need to appeal for or against a license or a tariff. Certainly, the renewable energy IPP were quite informative in terms of how cost effective gas were used to fund the IPP program. We have learned, I think we cannot just use the Tupi-Kusile model as a future model for our country. Yes, it is a model that we have to learn, it's an lesson to be learned through that model, but likewise, there's lessons to be learned through the success from the success rate and the success phase of the IPP. The lessons that the legacy of framework is being evaluated. And I encourage the members to look at the legislative framework as it exists and not only the IRP. The IRP will be updated to include responses to our energy challenge. Once you are updating that IRP, the IRP will be certain of our energy challenge. I don't think that we need now to take that out of our challenge. The gas utilization program, again, limited to what we had projected. That is not the space for the test. We'll be back in Mozambique. I go back to Mozambique on Friday, particularly to check out and expedite the procurement of gas and the procurement of other energy goods. The nuclear renewable program is a long-term investment for our country. But this procurement committee cannot be just for taking short-term immediate decisions at the expense of not really long-term planning. Our immediate decisions will be based on how to address the challenges there in the shortest space of time, but the most complicated way. And to facilitate state and expedite the human motion, that I reopen all the windows for renewable energy. So projects are ready to be announced as they all be re-evaluated. Generally, they will be all projects which they can be reduced to the need. And those projects will also be announced as soon as possible, including the 13 outstanding projects of the Window 4, which did not qualify during the announcement delay in April, but also the Competition Decision Committee looks at those projects again and we can allocate them as soon as possible. So the success was in the renewable energy crisis, and that is the kind of model that we will take even forward.
Thank you.